While there are many scholars, including myself, who view this passage as a precursor to the deacons mentioned in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the primary emphasis of the passage is how the early church faced the challenge of meeting needs or possible plateauing. I believe that idea is the point made by the apostles. They essentially served as the pastors of the Jerusalem church, although that ministry role had also not yet been fully developed. The need was more than financial. The church was experiencing a cultural divide between the Hebraic and Hellenistic widows. The Hebrew-speaking widows' needs were being met, while the Greek speakers were being neglected. It was a moment of ministry crisis. The disciples' declaration in Acts chapter 6, verse 2, "It would not be right for us to give up preaching the Word of God to wait on tables," is a clear declaration of the means of growth in the early church. If they stopped the ministry of the Word, the church would stop growing. Therefore, they developed a ministry plan that would meet the widow's needs and also allow the church to remain on a growth plane. Luke lets us know that the plan was not only successful, but far-reaching, for he declares, "So the word of God spread. The disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly in number, and a large group of priests became obedient to the faith." Chapter 6, verse 7. It would have been an incredible story at this point if the priests were some of the Sadducean priests, but they were most probably a part of the 8,000-plus common priests who received little or no support from the temple. Luke's mention of this occurrence must have been a significant issue because the next event would be Stephen's arrest and his stirring critique of the temple. Some of these priestly insiders may have shared the same viewpoint and longed for a purer worship of God. In other words, when the word is preached and genuine ministry needs are met, even some of the most difficult people come to Christ. In a world where evangelism is becoming more difficult, every pastor must remember that principle. Acts chapter 7 through 8 also offers insight into the importance of mission. After the martyrdom of Stephen, persecution arose in Jerusalem, so that all except the apostles were scattered throughout the land of Judea and Samaria. Devout men buried Stephen and mourned deeply over him. Saul, however, was ravaging the church. He would enter house after house, drag off men and women, and put them in prison. Chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. It would be through this diaspora that the church would begin to fulfill the Great Commission. Up until this point, the church had remained in Jerusalem, experiencing incredible success as the number of the disciples multiplied greatly. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. At the offset, 3,000 people were saved and baptized. After the teaching of Simon Peter and John, Luke mentions that 5,000 men believed. Acts chapter 4, verse 4. How many of the original 3,000 and now the 5,000 returned home following these conversions is unknown, but little doubt exists that the Jerusalem church had grown quite large. It could easily have moved into the status quo, as evidenced by the widow's crisis of Acts chapter 6. The church was large enough, some might have said. The church must take care of its own. A true statement, but one that comes with a qualification and interpretation of self-preservation. So now enters the ministry of Acts chapter 6 and God's allowance of persecution in Acts chapter 8. The church either learns to give the ministry away and to get onto the mission field, or the church moves.